Thanks so much for tuning into this message today. My name is Pastor Joey McLaughlin, and the heartbeat of Elevate City Church is to help people know Jesus, follow Jesus, and lead others to do the same. And we spend seasons focusing on those three ideas, and right now we're in a follow season. We want to help you follow Jesus like never before, help you live in his ways and practice his teachings. And so in this next message, that's what you're going to discover, how to be a disciple who makes disciples for Jesus. If this message is inspiring for you, we would love it if you'd hit that subscribe button so you can get the most up-to-date Elevate City content. And you can also give in the link below to get this message in front of more people. My prayer is that you are inspired and challenged today. Be blessed. Well, I am so pumped to jump into this collection of talks with you guys. Y'all aren't ready for tonight because I don't know if you can tell or not, but my voice is kind of gone. Anybody get that vibe? And it's because I've been preaching at a youth camp for the last 2 days. And so this is my fifth message in 3 days, which all that means is I'm ready now, okay? And it means that you're probably not, all right? But I'm so stoked for this message that God has in store for us tonight. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is where we're gonna be tonight. If you have a Bible, I want for you to go ahead and hold it up in the air. Hold your Bible up in the air real quick. I want for you to know that if your Bible glows, I don't respect you, okay? If your Bible glows, I don't respect you. You can grab a Bible in the pew in front of you, and I really wanna do this. Everybody hold the Bible up in the air real quick. Just grab a copy of God's word and hold it up in the air. I want for you to know that we're Bible people at this church. We're not people who let ourselves be the master of our own ships, but we're people who get under God's word, who submit to God's word, and who let God's word rule and reign over us. And so I'm really excited to let God's word do that tonight. Anybody else with me in the house? Come on. If you're new, I want for you to know that this isn't a movement that's interested in entertaining you. This is a movement that's interested in equipping you and helping you to see life through the lenses of God's word. John chapter 10, how about we stand? Can you go ahead and get on your feet in the house tonight? Let's stand in the honor of reading God's word. John chapter 10, this is what God's word says. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. I want to preach a message for you tonight titled, Eyes on the Shepherd. Eyes on the Shepherd. You can go ahead and grab a seat. I want to ask you tonight, how in the world do we do it? How do we do it? In modern day 2022, how do any of us make it out alive? Technology continues to push the pace of life faster and faster. The ideas of beauty and happiness and value are increasingly informed by social media. The last 2 years have taken life as we know it and completely flipped it upside down so that many of us have been driven into fear and isolation and panic and worry. And there's so much happening on the outside of us in this world full of pandemics and economics and TikToks that there's this great fear and worry within us. And I just wonder, how do any of us make it out alive? How do any of us make it through this thing called life and keep our soul intact? The way that we do it is we keep our eyes on the shepherd. I want to preach tonight from the greatest felt need in our church. I want to preach tonight coincidentally about what is also the greatest issue of sin in our church. Somebody say, uh-oh. Tonight, I want to preach on the sin of anxiety. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the sin of anxiety and fear and worry. Now, here's what I know is some of you just got anxious because I said the word anxiety. Like your palms are sweating, your knees weak, arms are heavy, and you're looking for the exit sign. You're going, I don't know if I even want to talk about anxiety. That's how real it is for some of you tonight. Now, here's what I want to say before I go any further. I don't know if you knew this or not, but like, I'm not a medical doctor, okay? I know, shocker. Oftentimes my like denim jacket gets confused as like a medical coat, but I'm not, okay? I'm not a medical doctor. I didn't have time to get that degree in my spare time. And so, this is what I know is that there is a level of anxiety, that there is a degree of anxiety that is absolutely medical and that requires special attention and counseling. And we are a massive proponent of that at this church. We're not the church that just tells you to pray your anxiety away and go on with it. We believe that there is a way to partner with the medical community to get the help that you need. And I know that some people need that help. And if you need that kind of help tonight, I want for you to know we would love to help you get it. But with that being said, I need to be extremely transparent with you. I firmly believe that most of the anxiety in our church tonight is not an issue of therapy. It is an issue of trust. And it is not a physical issue. It is a spiritual one. The reason that many of us are anxious is because we don't have our eyes on the shepherd. And I want to try to get you to understand that you living in anxiety and fear and worry is so much less than what God wants for your life. That there's so much more that the shepherd has for you. There's such deeper life that he wants to lead you into. And the truth of the matter is that most of us are way too comfortable with this sin. Like, I want to say this tonight, like straight up, transparently. Anxiety and worry are a sin. And to be totally honest, it's a sin that far too many of us aren't ashamed of at all. We actually wear anxiety as this like badge of honor, don't we? Like we'll say it just out loud. Yeah, man, I'm just so anxious and worried. And we wear it as this badge of honor to show that we're like hustling and grinding and out there killing the game, right? Like it's almost weird if you're not anxious today. It's almost like, what essential oils are you using, sir? How doth one do that? How doth one not be anxious? Like it's so strange in our modern culture to find somebody who isn't paralyzed, who isn't completely victimized by this issue of anxiety. But I want to tell you tonight that Jesus bled and died and went to Calvary, not so that you could be paralyzed by anxiety, but so that you could be set free from it. It is actually an issue that on Calvary, Jesus paid for. And tonight, I just want to make you and encourage you and inspire you to stop making yourself continue to pay for it. I want you to stop paying for what Jesus has already paid for. You see, anxiety, man, it's one of those things that we are way too comfortable struggling with us. Like most of us, we don't struggle confessing that we have anxiety. We struggle being convicted by it. We struggle to feel like it's an issue at all. We're so comfortable with this sin. And I want for you to know, look right at me, that if you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God, it is embarrassing to God to have his kids panicked, worried, and anxious. Like, what does it say about my God's ability if I'm anxious all the time? What does it say about the provision of the Father if his kids are always in a panic? What kind of statement does that make to the rest of the world? Like, I want for you to know that if my little girl, Riley, if she tells me that she's afraid, I'm offended, okay? Like, if Riley says, Daddy, I'm afraid right now, I'm like, do you know who your dad is? Like, what are you talking about? You're afraid. Like, girl, don't you trust your daddy to take care of you? Are my muscles not big enough? Like, if my girl tells me that she is afraid, I am offended, and I want for you to know your Father in heaven feels the same way. The foremost command in the Bible is do not be afraid, and yet we have a generation of people who are paralyzed by anxiety. And I just want for you to begin to believe tonight that maybe this is something that God actually wants to heal you from and set you free from, that it's not a pet sin that you need to carry any longer, but that God in his grace would actually want to set you free from it tonight. I want to see faith rise up in this house tonight to go, I don't have to be victimized by this any longer. I don't have to be held back and held hostage by this a single other day, but that starting tonight, something could happen, something could shift. And I could find the peace that Jesus says that he offers. But the only way that you're gonna be able to find the peace that Jesus so generously offers is when you start to put Jesus in the right place in your life. You've gotta get your eyes on the shepherd. You're never going to be able to get set free from this until you get your eyes on the shepherd. You see, the question tonight is how do I follow Jesus in a world full of noise? How do I follow Jesus in a world full of hurry, in a world full of news, in a world full of so many messages? You see, it's gotten so bad that many of us, we're more familiar with the voice of our anxiety than we are the voice of our shepherd. Many of us follow that voice down the train of thought that leads us into a prison of stagnation and fear and worry instead of following the shepherd who came to lead us into life and hope and freedom. I need you to know tonight that there is absolutely an enemy who is at work in this world. There is a spiritual battle going on for your soul. John chapter 10, verse 10 says it. It says that the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. There is a thief, and he has a threefold intention for your life: to steal, to kill, and destroy. But there is also a shepherd who has a goal of leading you into life and life to the full. Church, I want for you to know tonight that there are greener pastures and that there are more peaceful waters and that there are deeper experiences and that there is a more whole way of being, that there is abundance and fullness and a joy that is available, but you can only get it when you get your eyes off of your anxiety and onto your shepherd. Jesus, you gotta know this tonight, that Jesus and a biblical Christianity, biblical Christianity is not letting go of all kinds of good things in this world to just settle for Jesus. Biblical Christianity is letting go of the lesser things in this world to take hold of the life and the fullness that is only found in him. That is biblical Christianity. Jesus came to lead you into life and life to the full. Jesus does not want something from you tonight. He wants something for you. And it's life. Deep life, real life, vibrant life, but you're never gonna experience it so long as you're okay with your pet sin of anxiety. Tonight, I want for you to see that Jesus is the good shepherd that you were created to follow. But if Jesus is a shepherd, what does that make you and me? It makes us sheep, okay? It makes us sheep. And so I want for you to turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you're a sheep. Now I want for you to turn to your other neighbor, your less enticing second option, and say, I guess I'm a sheep too. All right, let me show you, because like you're really a sheep. Like I just want you to try to get an image and a picture for this. This is you. This is your picture. This is what you look like right here. That's you. I'm serious. You're a sheep. That's you. And I know what some of you guys are thinking. You're like, nah, Joey, like I'm tough and I'm strong and I'm agile and I'm smart for a sheep, okay? Like you're a tough, smart, agile sheep, but you're a sheep nonetheless, okay? Do you know what they call a sheep without legs? A cloud. Yeah, I told that to a sheep too, and he said that was bad. Yes, yes. It's the joy of being a 32-year-old father. You can make dad jokes all the time. I love it that this reality that we are sheep. Sheep are, their nature is victims. Did you know that? Like sheep, if you study them, there is nothing about a sheep that gives them the capacity or the ability to defend themselves. Like you won't find a sheep out in the wild, okay? Like sheep, they weren't made for them streets. You know what I'm saying? Like sheep, like you will never see a guard sheep or an attack sheep or a defense sheep. Sheep are defenseless without shepherds. Sheep are all together victims. Like what do you call a lamb that does karate? A lamb chop? Come on. Some of you guys are thinking, how many sheep jokes does this guy have? And this is concerning. Like I got one more, okay? One more sheep joke. One more. Okay, knock, knock. Barbara? Barbara, black sheep, have you any wool? That is so funny. I think it's so funny, okay? Now here's the thing about sheep and wool. Listen, I had to tell you jokes. I was so intense about anxiety earlier, right? Like y'all were like on the edge of your sheets. I had to sheeps, get it? I had to loosen you up a little bit. Here's the thing about a sheep and their wool. It's really interesting actually that without outside help, a sheep, their wool will grow so fast that it will actually render them immobile. A sheep will just get so big from their wool growing if somebody's not taking care of them that they actually can't move. Like, did you guys see the picture of Barack recently? Not Obama, Barack the sheep. Check him out. This is Barack the sheep. And it's actually really interesting. It was trending all over social media. And Barack is this sheep that had actually gotten loose in the wild. And this is what a sheep begins to look like. I think we got another picture. When it's not tended to by a shepherd, is the wool just begins to grow thicker and thicker and thicker. And they actually had to shave 78 pounds of wool off of Barack. So much weight had gotten placed upon him because he didn't have a shepherd that was caring for him. I was doing more research on sheep and I saw that sheep are defenseless, yes, but they're also dumb. Some pastors try to tell you that sheep aren't dumb. No, they are really dumb, okay? And they're so dumb that sheep will literally die feet away from water. Like they will be within feet of water and they will die of dehydration. That's how dumb that sheep are. I found this out about sheep that outside of help, sheep really struggle against pests and insects. I found this so fascinating. I never heard this before. An insect will fly into a sheep's ear and it will infect a sheep's brain so much so that a sheep will die from banging their head against a tree or the ground, literally killing themselves from the inside out just to try to get that insect that crawled in their ear and then crawled up in their mind and created an infection in their brain out of there. And it's really easy to laugh at some of those descriptions of being a sheep, but the truth is that all of those descriptions are applicable to Christians who are living with anxiety. The same thing that is true about those sheep without a shepherd is true about Christians who babysit their pet sin of anxiety instead of trusting their shepherd to deal with it and to lead them forward. I know some Christians who, man, they may not physically be banging their head against the wall, but they would rather do that than thinking about some of the thoughts inside of their head. You know, a sheep without a shepherd is a sheep that won't live long. It's a sheep with a short shelf life. Sheep will die from eating good things. They will literally eat until their stomach explodes. Sheep will die because they get on their back and they take a nap and they can't get back up. They just start snacking themselves to death. They graze for 7 hours of the day and then they sleep. They eat and sleep. Eat and sleep, and they will literally eat whatever is right in front of them. They will eat poisonous stuff if it's in front of them. And this is the reason that having a shepherd is so important, because left to our own devices, we snack and we snack and we snack and we scroll and we scroll and we scroll and we eat poisonous stuff that slowly kills us without us ever recognizing it. We're just scrolling ourselves to death. And the only hope for a sheep is that a shepherd would come along, a good shepherd who wants to protect them and chart out a path for them that leads them to sustenance and gives them abundance of life. John chapter 10, verse 4, the shepherd goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You get this imagery that a shepherd is always in front of the sheep. And so the shepherd is in front of the sheep so that the sheep's eyes are on the shepherd, because what you're looking at determines what you're listening to. Have you ever heard somebody say, hey, listen with your eyes? Do you remember when you were a kid and your mom or your dad wanted to say something to you and they said, hey, look at me, look at me. Eyes on me. Whenever I've got a big point to make in the message, I say, hey, look at me with your eyes, because I know that where your eyes are going, then your ears get engaged. And so this idea is that a shepherd leads the sheep and the sheep are looking at the shepherd, because what you're looking at affects what you're listening to, and what you're listening to determines the life that you will begin to live. And so are you living a life where your shepherd is in front of you and you are looking to your shepherd and you're listening to your shepherd and you're allowing your life to be shaped by your shepherd? Jesus is the good shepherd, and the shepherd wants to lead the sheep, and the only job of the sheep is to stay as close as they can to the shepherd. The only job of the sheep is to stay as close as they can to the shepherd. To do whatever they can to get their eyes on the shepherd. To do whatever they can to hear the voice of the shepherd. To carve out time and space to be with the shepherd. That's the only job of the sheep. I recognize how young I am. And how young I am to be doing something like this, to be leading a church and leading a church that's growing and that's got multiple campuses and that's doing stuff all over the world. And I'm 32 and I'm looking at my life and I'm going, I want to be doing this when I'm 62 or when I'm 72. I don't want to be one of those guys who burns fast and bright and hot and then burns out. I want to be 62, still faithfully preaching the gospel. Like, guys, honestly, I can't wait till I'm 62, because then I'll just be able to like yell at you guys and not make jokes, okay? Like, that's the awesome part about like being an older pastor, is like when I get old, I can just be like crazy and senile and angry, and you guys will be like, he was so faithful in his 30s. He loved us so well when he wore skinny jeans, you know? Like I can't wait for those days, but I don't want to be one of those guys who allows the pressure and the pace of not just life, but also the pressure and the pace of ministry to rob my joy, to steal my calling, because I got my eyes off of the shepherd and I got it on status, or I got it on significance, or I got it on growth. Like I was telling Joe and Thomas the other day just about how tired I am in my soul. Anybody else tired in their soul? Man, I'm just tired in my soul from the pace of life that I'm living at, from just moving so rapidly, going from dropping my daughter off at dance or dropping her off at school and then picking her up at school and then going to work and then coming home and cleaning the house and then making meals and then managing staff meetings and planning sermon series and trying to figure out where we're gonna have church, trying to figure out the space that we can meet in, and then going to speak at this student camp. And I just want for y'all to know that, like, in my early 20s, my body functioned very well on pizza and Mountain Dew. Now it feels like poison, okay? So for the last like 72 hours, I've just been injecting my body with poison, and I'm tired. I'm exhausted, and I'm just looking at my life going, man, I don't know how much longer I can keep up this pace, and I don't know how much longer I can keep living life in my own strength. And I want so badly to build a church, a big church, a church that wakes up this city and wakes up this generation, but I don't want to do it at the cost of my relationship with the shepherd. And I don't want to do it at the cost of my family. I want to be 62 and faithfully preaching the gospel, yes, but I want to be 62 and loving my wife like crazy and leading my kids well and not sacrificing my family on the altar of ministry. And the only way that that's going to happen for me is if I have my eyes on the shepherd and I'm doing God's work. I'm out here trying to build the kingdom, whatever that means, right? So I can only imagine if it's so difficult for me and I feel so much pressure and exhaustion and there's such an aggressive pace and there's so many things to do, how much more you must feel that too. How much more you must feel that in this modern life with the pace and the aggression and all the things that we've got to accomplish and all the places that we've got to go and all the money that there is to be made and all the places that there is to see, how you just must be tired in your soul and wondering, how am I going to make it out of this thing alive? How am I going to make it out of this life with my marriage intact? How am I going to make it out of this cultural moment with my faith intact? Everybody else is deconstructing, so should I just deconstruct? Am I supposed to keep on trusting God? Because I don't know if this is working for me anymore. And I wonder if we begin to think that it's not working for us anymore because we got our eyes on our situation and we got our eyes off of our shepherd. How aggressively, how intentionally are you fighting to keep your eyes on the shepherd? Everything in life begins to change when you realize that your only job, your only goal is to stay close to your shepherd, to hear his voice, to see his face. Like literally, like the whole Christian life, I think, could probably be summed up in a Verizon commercial. Can I hear Jesus now? 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 You see, most of us, we're just concerned if we can hear Jesus when we come to church, if the sermon was good enough, and if the worship was good enough, and if we couldn't hear Jesus in church, then we just go and find a different church, and we never sow in and fight and help grind and build something. But I'm concerned about whether or not you hear Jesus in church, yes, but I'm way more concerned about if you hear Jesus out there in the world. Because you spend way more time out there than you will ever spend in here. And everything that we're doing in here is designed to equip you to stay close to your shepherd out there. Because hearing the voice of God is not just a Sunday experience. It is an everyday experience. And it's something that's available for you as sheep. Your shepherd wants to speak to you. I did some research on shepherds. I don't know if you can tell or not, but I'm not exactly like a cattle kind of guy, you know? So I looked up just like the relationship between sheep and shepherds and the way that it works. And I learned that sheep knowing their shepherd is actually a very nuanced idea to this time period when the Bible was written. This idea of sheep knowing their shepherd, it's actually not as relevant today as it was back then. It's really interesting. Back then, shepherds would spend hours upon hours with their sheep. They would eat with their sheep, sleep with their sheep, play with their sheep, walk with their sheep all of the time. They called their sheep by name. The sheep knew the shepherd's scent. They had this incredibly close relationship. However, with the advancement of modern technology, sheep don't really know their shepherds anymore. It's very interesting. We use tracking devices and helicopters and sheepdogs. We've got them fenced in. We brand them. We put electronic devices on them to the point that we don't even have to have a relationship with the sheep anymore. This was interesting. One sheep expert, a former shepherd, he said that the other day he walked into the gate where his sheep were, and the sheep scattered because they didn't even know him. The sheep scattered because they didn't even know him. He says, I'm not in relationship with them. I'm like a stranger to them because modern technology has made it so that the sheep and the shepherd don't have to be in relationship anymore. And it just got me thinking, have you and I begun to depend on modern technology as sheep to the point that we don't even need relationship with our shepherd anymore? Have we convinced ourselves that we can look at this as our shepherd, that we can scroll through this to find our sustenance, that we can spend all of our time getting trapped in the portal of technology and of email and of scheduling and of social media and of watching videos, that we don't even need to be in relationship with our shepherd anymore? I found this extremely interesting. Dallas Willard, one of my favorite writers and theologians, he says this. He says, the open secret of many Bible-believing churches is that only a very small percentage of their members study the Bible with even the degree of interest, intelligence, or joy that they bring to bear upon their favorite TV show or sports team. Oof! Very small percentage of us approach God's word where we hear the voice of our shepherd with even a smidgen of the intensity that we binge watch our favorite TV show with. And then we wonder why we can't hear the voice of our shepherd. You see, so much of this series, so much of this idea is about trying to recapture in your mind the significance of communion with God. You being in relationship with God, you walking with God and knowing God's voice and hearing God's voice, it's the primary object of the Christian's life. Like the highest level of discipleship is when you get to a point where you're walking with Jesus so closely, where the moment that you realize that you're not thinking about him, your great intention is to move your thoughts back to him. Like this is the highest level of discipleship. Like when, okay, yes, you should wake up and have a quiet time. Let me just do a little caveat moment. I know I bashed on quiet times last week. Okay, you should still have one, all right? Just do it with someone else. Like have a quiet time with a crew, okay? But yes, God's presence in the morning is so unbelievably important because I believe that that can be a launch pad for your day. Yes and amen. But what is so much better is when you realize that you actually never have to leave his presence at all. That he's speaking all of the time in so many unique ways, so many beautiful ways, so many rich ways, so many nuanced ways. And so, like, my goal, like, what I'm trying to do as I'm following Jesus is, yeah, I'm waking up in the morning, I'm reading the Bible. Of course I am. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. He is like a tree that is planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. And so that's what I want to do. I want to day and night delight in the law of the Lord. Yes and amen. But what I want even more is that after I leave that formal Bible study and I get up and I go out, I have my breakfast, I want my mind to gravitate back towards my shepherd and realize that this meal that I'm eating is only because he led me to the green pasture to provide for me. And as I get in my car and I begin to drive to work and the stresses of the meetings that I have to lead and the answers to the questions that I have to have and the budgets that I've got to make and the dollars that I gotta hit, all of this stress that I'm worried and anxious about, my great job, my great goal is to try to have my mind drift off of my situation and towards my shepherd. And you're my provider, you're my leader, and you lead me and you guide me and you walk with me and you know me and you've got this. And then when I get out and I'm starting to get, you know, distracted by like just the joys of life and the fun of life, and I'm going, God, thank you for that. Shepherd, thank you that you like don't just want to work your sheep, but that you want your sheep to play sometimes. and that you love it when I'm happy. You love it when I do things that are fun, that the same way that I look at my kid when they're having the time of their lives and celebrate. That's what you do with me when I'm having a moment of joy. God, thank you that that's the kind of relationship that you have with me, that you don't have some weird idolatrous, like where you just want me to just serve you, but you want me to live with you each and every day. Do you get this idea of how in every day, every waking moment, can I take my thoughts, my affections, and my attention and have it just drift back towards the shepherd? How actively are you trying to do this as a sheep? How often are you coming up from whatever you're grazing on, whatever you're eating at, from whatever, you know, mountain you're climbing or valley you're in, and going, where's my shepherd? Where is he? Is it possible that I've gotten so busy working or adventuring or moving or eating that I've gotten my eyes off of my shepherd? Is it possible that he's gone somewhere and that I just got left back in the dust because I didn't have my eyes on him and I didn't hear his voice when he told me to move on from that relationship, to move out of that sinful habit, to get out of that job that was taxing your soul? Yeah, it was giving you so much money, but it was costing you your value as a child of God. How aggressively, how diligently are we keeping our eyes on the shepherd? Like, I've been thinking about a lot recently, like how quickly we get up from a worship service and like we just move on, right? It's just over. How quickly we can just run out of God's presence. You know, one of my favorite songs that we sing is we sing this song called Set a Fire. Y'all know it, Set a Fire Down in My Soul That I Can't Contain, That I Can't Control. I want more of you, God. And then it goes into this other part. It says, there's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. And then I read this quote by this pastor that I thought was so interesting. And he said that Christians don't always tell lies, but they certainly sing them. That we say that there's no place that we would rather be than in the love of God and walking with our shepherd, but how quickly do we go on to a million other places? And I think that something would happen if we would capture this understanding that we are a presence-based movement, and that when we understand that our job is to host the presence of God, and that the presence of God is the thing, the place where we find power and where we find direction and where we find wholeness and fullness and a life and sustenance, it's when real life begins to happen. I want to close with this idea of the sheep gate. The sheep gate or the sheepfold. And the sheepfold is a really interesting thing. I want to put it up there. And the sheepfold is this thing that would have been used to herd sheep back in the first century Jerusalem. And the way that it would work is there would be these shepherds, and a shepherd would typically have about 100 sheep in their flock, and the sheep would follow this shepherd around wherever they went, just try to stay as close to their shepherd as they could. And at night, the shepherd, if he wanted to get a good night's rest, he would take his sheep into the sheepfold or into the sheep gate. And there would be, there could be up to 10 different shepherds who host their sheep in the same sheepfold. And so at any given time, there could literally be 1,000 sheep who belong to 10 different shepherds inside of one sheepfold. And the way that it would work is in the middle of the night, shepherd after shepherd after shepherd would bring their sheep into this sheepfold. And then what would happen is that 9 shepherds, that they would go into town and they would eat and they would get materials and they would sleep in maybe a hotel, have a nice rest. They would take a shower, and one shepherd would become the sheep gate or the sheep door. And what the one shepherd would do is he would literally lay down across the front of the sheepfold. He would use his body to act as a barrier. You see, there would be these stones that were stacked up on every single side to keep the sheep inside, but then the shepherd, he would lay down his body across the door to keep the sheep from getting out and to allow other sheep to come in. And what is so interesting is that when a shepherd would come back to get his sheep, realize there are 1,000 sheep and 10 shepherds, And so a shepherd would have 100 sheep. And literally what would happen is as this other shepherd started to approach the shepherd that's lying at the sheep gate, he would stand up and he would see from a distance. He would calculate, do I recognize that shepherd? Do I know that shepherd? And if he did, then he would allow the shepherd to come in. And the shepherd would call amongst all of these other sheep. There are 1,000 sheep in there. And the shepherd would just do this one call, this distinct, unique call. And the sheep that were his knew that it was his voice. And those 100 sheep would stand up amidst all the other sheep that they're surrounded by, and they would come out of the sheep gate, and they would go into greener pastures, they would go beside quiet waters, and they would continue this adventure of following their shepherd. And I just wonder, what's gonna happen when the great shepherd, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep comes back? Calls to all of us who are in a sheepfold of some kind, likely, and we're maybe trying to find rest, or maybe we're trying to find purpose, or maybe we're trying to find significance. And when the true shepherd, when he calls, are we gonna know his voice? Are we gonna know his voice? You see, the only way that we're gonna know his voice in the end is if we spent time with him here and now. The way that we're able to distinguish the call of God and to know his voice in our lives is to be active in spending time with the shepherd each and every day. And his voice is kind. His voice is patient. Sometimes it's got loving discipline and correction. Yes, absolutely. But it's the kind of voice that is informed and shaped by sacrifice. Do you know what makes our shepherd so much better, so much richer, so much more beautiful than all the other shepherds out there? So we've got a shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. 2,000 years ago, Jesus didn't just come as the shepherd who wanted to lead you, but he became the Lamb of God who died for you to take away your sin, to get you back into right relationship with God so that you could experience the beauty of his pasture. And I'm just inviting some sheep to return to their shepherd tonight. I'm inviting you to a way of life where you follow Jesus in such a way that your eyes stay on the shepherd, so that you can hear his voice and that you can follow him into the great adventure that he has for you. Let's pray together. Jesus, I know that there are people in the room tonight within the sound of my voice who are feeling so trapped and so burdened and so weighed down by the pressures and the stressors of this modern life. I know that there are people who feel so taxed and so tired and so at the end of themselves. They feel like they've been searching and that they've been looking, and they're so tired of being anxious, so tired of being panicked, so tired of being worried, so tired of being held hostage by the things of this world. I just pray that tonight that they would hear their shepherd's voice calling them to come back home, calling them to rest in him, calling them to find the fulfillment and the sustenance and the life that is in you, Jesus. God, I thank you that you are the good shepherd who lays down your life for the sheep. I thank you that you are the kind of shepherd who leaves the 99 to chase after the one. I know that there are probably some sheep tonight who feel so far away. They feel so lost and so forgotten and so abandoned. I just love the beauty of the gospel. is that you leave the 99 and you go after the one. You find the sheep wherever they are, whatever bush they're caught up in, whatever mountain they've gotten stuck on, whatever valley they've given up in. You go to those sheep and you say, I want to bring you back home. So I just want to give you a moment, just in the quietness of your heart, to ask yourself the question, how close am I to my shepherd? How well can I hear his voice? And where is he leading me next? Maybe you've never trusted in your shepherd before. Maybe you've never said that I want to be a sheep who says I will follow the shepherd wherever he goes. If you've never trusted in Jesus as your good shepherd, I want to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. To say, I'm a sheep and I need a shepherd. In the quietness of your heart, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I need you. I know that I've sinned. I know that I've run away from you. And I'm sure life doesn't work on my own. I believe that you died for me on the cross. I believe you resurrected from the grave. And I place my life in your hands as my good shepherd today. If you prayed that prayer, then the promise of the gospel is that the Spirit of Jesus comes to live inside of you, and Jesus becomes the good shepherd who begins to lead you. And I just want to take a moment to mark that moment for people in the room and who are watching online. If tonight, for the first time, you realize that you're done with anxiety and that you want the freedom that Jesus promises and you want to follow him as your good shepherd, then on the count of three, just as a sign of surrender, I want for you to raise your hand wherever you are. One, two, three. Yeah, come on, amen and amen. Amen. Can we celebrate that some people are giving their lives to the good shepherd tonight? So Jesus, in these moments where we worship you, I just pray that you would pull us close to your presence, that you would remind us of your goodness, and that you would get our eyes on the shepherd. I pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.